when we're desiring wealth, it has energy and power in it, right? We get excited about creating it. It's a magnet for wealth. It literally pulls wealth in. But when we resist wealth, or when we have some, you know, kind of unconscious biases or resistances against wealth, then we never create it because it's not something we really desire. We think we should desire it. I'm Sonia Statman, and you're listening to The Feminine Lens. Over the last 20 years, I've had the honor to work with thousands of women around the globe in self-development, in leadership, and in business. Being in the trenches with women has taught me that we have to stop seeing ourselves and the world through the patriarchal lens. I've spent my life helping women look through a new lens, a feminine lens, a lens that honors our innate worth and wisdom, a lens that empowers us with more wealth and freedom. The Feminine Lens is designed to challenge you. It will change what you think and what you know, but it will help you reclaim yourself. And that is the way we change the world. Ready? Let's do this. Hi, and welcome back to The Feminine Lens, and welcome to the start of a new month and a new topic. So if you've, you know, listened to a few of The Feminine Lens episodes in the past, we try to pick a monthly topic and look at it from multiple viewpoints. I think this is a really amazing way to kind of deep dive. So last month, we talked about desire and vision, and this month, I'm super excited. We're going to be talking about wealth and worth and women. Right? And why do we need to have these conversations around wealth? Right? We need a lot more of them. And so I wanted to start this episode with just sharing with you some of the reasons why I have seen it's very important that we have conversations around wealth as women. And I'm also going to share with you at the end some of the things you can do to kind of shift in your consciousness, in your environment, in the things that you create on a daily basis to create more wealth in your life. So it's going to be very powerful. And then throughout the month, we're going to explore this topic more deeply. So why do we need to have more conversations about wealth as women, right? Let's start with some statistics. Only 12% of women-owned businesses are making more than $100K a year. So right there, in terms of even the business world, 12%. That means 88% of women-owned businesses are making less than $100K. Now, that's revenue. That doesn't include salaries. That doesn't include expenses. That doesn't include what it takes day-to-day to operate the businesses that we own. That's a huge gap. Not only do men make more in their businesses, but, you know, women often struggle to delegate. We spend money on expenses that are in care of others. We take care of our employees. So there's some really interesting things in that. So a few other statistics. Due to pay gaps, women on average lose $900K, right? $900,000 over a 40-year career cycle. That's just due to the pay gaps, which is a huge issue. So then in terms of leadership, only 37 of the CEOs on the Fortune 500 list are women, and zero are Black, Latina, or Indigenous. Companies run by women received only 2.7% of all venture capital funding in 2019, and that was an all-time high. So 2.7%, right? That is just a huge discrepancy and a huge like symbol of inequity. So these are some of the reasons why we need to have more of these conversations around wealth. Okay, a few more. 5 times more women than men live paycheck to paycheck without an emergency fund. And many of those women are primary caregivers to children, family, parents. Women are 80% more likely to be impoverished in retirement, 80%. But women are still better managers, more successful investors, more likely to repay loans, and they give to nonprofits. They're also more likely to invest in their communities and to lift others up. This is why I feel like just even having conversations around wealth is so important, because I mean, obviously, there is so many inequities in terms of the way that women create wealth, the way men create wealth. And part of that is because as women, it's not kind of a common conversation, right? I mean, how often have you sat with your girlfriend and talked about wealth, right? Maybe you've done it in business if you're in business. Maybe you've gone specifically to some kind of like education on building wealth or investing. But in terms of everyday conversations, how often do we really talk about wealth or even talk about the things that create wealth? So this is really what I want to bring up throughout this month is I want to have conversations with women around wealth. And I want us to talk about what that feels like, you know, why we want to create it, how we do that more effectively so we can really shift these statistics. So how do we flip this script so that we can make women wealthy, right? Which I'm really passionate about. And not in terms of, you know, I think that, I mean, before, let's preface this. I think a lot of people talk about wealth in a way that is a concept, right? And it's also very rooted in worthiness or unworthiness. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And so, you know, when I say helping women create more wealth, yes, I absolutely mean money, because money influences things. Because when we can spend and invest money in the things we care about, then that shifts the burden of power, right? That shifts the way that we're able to influence what is created in the world. So yes, we want to absolutely create money. And we need to look at wealth differently, right? We need to look at it in a way that aligns with that, not concept of wealth, not probably some preconceived notions you have about people in your lives who are wealthy. I mean, I know for myself growing up, wealth was always kind of entrenched in this idea of, you know, like old white men, right? Old white men in their wealthy cars and their wealthy things, their big houses, and their like that was definitely like really entrenched in my concept of wealth. I mean, you know, I grew up in the 80s, you know, my dad was a businessman, you know, it was very much kind of living in that concept. And I never wanted to create that. I never wanted to be that kind of wealth. So when I went to create a business or in many, you know, of the goals I've had in my life, wealth was never really part of it because I didn't resonate with that concept and that definition of wealth. So I had to really recreate my relationship to money, my relationship with wealth, and I've done a lot of work in that area. And that's a lot of the work I do with my clients as well. Because we need to shift the way we view wealth. We need to have a different relationship with it. So we're going to talk about that in a second. But we can't ignore the systemic issues that are, you know, everywhere, all around us, that are keeping women from wealth and still raising up white men, right? So some of those things that we just at least need to acknowledge is that all systems of power and therefore wealth are biased against women. So there are less women in politics, in business, in Hollywood, in medicine, and all big industries, at least in positions of power. Therefore, there are less of our interests being addressed. What we care about, what we want to talk about, what we want to hear, they're not being addressed in things like medicine, right? So much of the, you know, research that's done and the experiments that are done, they're done on men. They're done with men. So there's not an equality of what women need. It's like we are just considered sub-men in so many industries. So also, women still have primary care of children and parents. So when our parents get old, we also have the primary care of our parents and therefore produce a huge amount of unpaid labor. Now, this is a systemic issue. And again, we have to acknowledge these things. So they're just not things that we fully have in control. We have to work on them from the outside as well. There's sexism in every industry, and that leads to less pay raises, less promotions, and less education about wealth and money. So, you know, these are the kind of things that just drive me crazy, right? But this is what we're dealing with. This is where we're at. And this is exactly why I created the Feminine Lens, and so much of my work is so that we could talk about all of these things from a different perspective. So we could acknowledge the systemic issues and also start to change them from the inside out. So a few other things. Women have to navigate sexism not only in the workplace, but also in the home. So many men are still in charge of the finances. They feel entitled because they are the breadwinners to determine where the money goes, what we can and can't spend money on, and many expect their wife or daughters to do more unpaid labor. Now, again, this is systemic. Even the most loving, beautiful men often still have this deeply unconscious bias inside of them. Almost all my clients that I've worked with in some way, shape, or form are dealing with this in their partnerships. Their husbands are either expecting them to do more of the unpaid labor, or, like I said, they think they're kind of entitled because they're the breadwinners to decide where money goes. And until their partner, their wife, who is also handling the children or having so much of the domestic duties, until their wife can make as much money as they are, then they're not qualified to make the same level of decisions. So again, this is bias and sexism even in our own homes. These are sort of blatant gender issues. But some of the other things that we're dealing with systemically is that there is an inequity of personality that is also biased against women. So more masculine qualities are praised. Now, you know, if you've heard any of my feminine masculine topics, we all have feminine and masculine inside of us, but women, more women, have more feminine qualities. That is naturally how they flow. It's naturally who they are. And so again, we still can utilize masculine. We have some masculine, but we lean more to the feminine. And yet all of the sort of industries of power, they praise the masculine qualities. They want you to remove emotions. They want you to remove empathy. The more extroverted and willing to exhaust yourself you are, the more hustle you do, the more you succeed. So even, you know, besides just the gender issues, even kind of the personality and the things that are praised and acknowledged and succeed are the ones that are more masculine, right? The ones that are more like more men. So feminine qualities like receptivity, intuition, balance, empathy, they're actually used against us in areas of wealth and power. So there's a lot of things in the world that need to change, right? And they're systemic, so they're not going to change overnight. They're not going to change this year, right? We have to work to kind of whittle away and shift and change things. Now, I have been an advocate for shifting these systems for a long time, for decades, really my whole career. This is where I started. And so, you know, 20 years in, guess what? Still working with these systems and shifting them. But what I found over the years is that what exponentially starts to change the world is when we change ourselves. So when women step into their worthiness, when women step in to own their wealth, right, to really take charge of that, then what happens is we start to influence and exponentially change the world outside of us. So that's kind of what I want to explore this month is, you know, what are the things that we can change inside ourselves? What are the things that we can do because we have more power there and it's exponential in the impact that it has? So not that we can't acknowledge what's happening in the systems, we have to, and we do have to deal with what's happening out there in the world. But I really feel that the power and the impact is done when we start with ourselves first. So let's talk about some of the things that we can do to shift wealth for ourselves. And these may not be what you hear because I'm going to talk about them from the feminine lens, right? So much of the wealth conversations that are happening right now out in the world, even the one from women, is still done through the masculine lens. It's still about hustle. It's still about sales. It's still about making millions. Nothing's wrong with all of that. But it doesn't appeal to many of us who are more feminine, who are more empathetic, who don't want to hustle. I do not want to hustle. I do not want to work 50 hours a week. I want to be with my family. I want to have impact. I want to do it all in a balanced way. And so, you know, we're going to talk about the things that you can shift from a more feminine lens. And so I'm really interested to hear, you know, how this is for you, what you think. You know, you can always reach out to me anytime and share with me your thoughts because I love to hear them. All right. So where are we going to start? We're actually going to start with desire. And, you know, if you missed last month's four episodes, we did all four episodes last month in the feminine lens on desire. So that's such a great precursor to wealth. You know why? Because desire is really this thing that invites something in, right? It pulls something to us. When we're really running in our desire, we're able to create so much more effectively and more quickly and more efficiently and more in a happy way too, right? More fulfilling. So I think that desire is really this core piece. And the reason why I think it's such an important thing that we have to do to start to shift our wealth is because a lot of times we don't really desire wealth. So if you're really honest with yourself, do you desire wealth? If you sit there and feel like, is it juicy, like in your body, do you really feel when you think about wealth that it's like juicy and exciting? It opens you up. It, you know, makes you just want to go out and get it. Like, is that what you feel when you think about wealth? If not, then there's some kind of disconnect. And so trying to have all these goals around wealth, trying to create wealth will be like an uphill battle because your desire is not ignited. So desire really has to be felt. It has to be real. And we talked a lot about this. So I'm not going to go too far into this today because we did a lot of this last month. But most of the time when I ask women what they want, it's concepts, right? They don't really, they're not in touch with their desire. They're not in touch with, especially an embodied desire where they can really, really feel it. So sometimes they just don't know what they want. But what I've found is that when women want wealth and money, it's usually based in shoulds, right? They should want wealth and money. They should want $1 million. If they do this, they'll get this, right? So then there's like this like kind of equation. If I get wealth, I can have freedom. If I get wealth, I can be praised. If I get wealth, I can be accepted. If I get wealth, I can be in control. If I get wealth, I can have power. So none of that is really desiring wealth per se. It's like a concept of what you think wealth will give you. So a real desire has to be something you actually want. And it has to come from a whole place, not a wounded place. So I think that is this, you know, really interesting thing when we're looking at building wealth. See, when we're desiring wealth, it has energy and power in it, right? We get excited about creating it. It's a magnet for wealth. It literally pulls wealth in. But when we resist wealth or when we have some, you know, kind of unconscious biases or resistances against wealth, for instance, the example I gave earlier with the way I grew up thinking about wealth, then we never create it because it's not something we really desire. We think we should desire it. I know for myself, I never wanted to create wealth because of my reference points. The reference points didn't align with my values. And so I really resisted it. And I would still create, you know, I would still create goals around wealth, right? Or goals around money, goals around sales. But it was always a struggle to meet them until I really shifted my desire. So I think this is something really important to explore. And sometimes it starts with redefining our definitions of wealth. So, you know, when you think about wealth, what are your reference points, right? I had my clients, we did a whole month on wealth in my client group, and I had them really do a lot of journaling and exploration around these questions. You know, what were their reference points? How did they view wealth growing up? How did they view wealth? How do they really view wealth now? And there's something to stay really honest in your body about it. What does that feel like in your body? Right? When you think about that, what experiences did you have with money growing up? you know, were your parents always fighting about money? Because that's going to store some real resistance in our body. Were your parents like hush-hush about money? No one talked about money. You know, did you experience poverty? You know, I definitely had some of those experiences as a child. And, you know, that gets you this really interesting relationship around money. I know for me, when I was really exploring a lot of my money stuff, you know, my dad was kind of this, you know, upper middle class businessman who, you know, had some wealth. And my mom was like this, you know, woman in poverty who always gave her money away. So I had these really interesting viewpoints on wealth, this very kind of almost in conflict, right, beliefs based on my parents. And that set me up for a lot of like back and forth as I got older. So these are all really interesting and important things to look at, right? What happens is when we start to explore that, when we start to really look at how we view wealth and we start to open up some of those awarenesses and some of that insight into our experience with money and wealth, we also can redefine it for ourselves. We can reshape it. But again, if we're looking to really create that desire around wealth and money, it has to be in our body. It has to be something we actually feel. For myself, it took really exploring the vision that I wanted to create, what I wanted to do in the world, what I wanted to impact in the world. When that landed for me, then I could really kind of connect to the idea of wealth, what being wealthy, what creating wealth would do for others, what creating wealth would do as far as my impact and my reach, who I could give money to, right? Who I could invest in so that my values were met, right? I could invest in more Black-owned businesses. I could invest in more women of color, right? I could choose where I put that money and I could lift others up. When I started to really connect all of that in my body, that really shifted my ability to create wealth, my ability to make money. All of a sudden, instead of, you know, resisting that sales call, I could bring it on. Bring it on. Yeah. You want to talk about money? Yes. This is why I'm worth it. This is why I'm valuable. So those kind of things are really important. So you want to connect in with that desire. That's kind of the first key point. The other thing you have to do is you have to do the worthy work, because the real work with wealth is around worthiness. It's not around how you invest. It's not around how much money you're making. All of that comes from the worthy work. And I have really, really seen this in decades of working with women, working with thousands of women. There's not a single woman I've ever worked with that is fully stepping into her worth, right? There's always a feeling of unworthiness. Now, that is partly systemic, because we are taught from day one that we're not worthy, and we're only worthy when we accomplish X, Y, Z. We're worthy when we're beautiful and when we keep up that appearance for the rest of our lives. We're worthy when we accomplish something, right? When we're in our masculine, when we accomplish, when we succeed, when we make money, you know, we're not taught that we're innately worthy, right? From the day one, you are worthy by breathing. There's nothing you have to do to be worthy. So doing the worthy work is a very core component of building wealth. And honestly, in the conversations out there, when people talk about building wealth, no one is really addressing the worthy work. And if they do, it's like a side mention. Yeah, do some, go to therapy, do a few things. It's not really talked about that, like, exponentially that will change your ability to create wealth. So you can start to ask yourself, you know, do you feel worthy of wealth? Do you feel worthy of money? You can look at it in other ways too. Do you feel worthy of space? Do you feel worthy of time? Do you feel worthy to meet your own needs? Or does it feel selfish? Does it feel selfish to want wealth, or selfish to want space, or selfish to want time? So these are all really important things to explore. And as you do that, as you start to really kind of explore the worthiness and heal some of that and step into that, everything changes around money. Your relationship to money changes. Your relationship to sales changes. Your relationship to creating wealth changes. You know, that's why this is so, so important. And there's a lot of ways to do the worthy work. I do that in my coaching program with my clients. You can go to therapy. You can do it through some self-development. You know, you can do it through journaling and meditation. There's many ways, but I'd recommend having a guide. I'd recommend having support. And the reason why is because it is so easy to get caught up in being unworthy and in our stories of why we're unworthy instead of actually integrating them so that we can step fully into our worth, right? So I think that that is why sometimes it's really nice to have a guide that can help hold us and see who we are, right? And acknowledge our worth and also recognize when we're sabotaging ourselves. Okay, so another kind of area of this worthiness you can look at is, you know, the decisions that you make. Are you making decisions from worthiness or unworthiness? Because decisions from worthiness create wealth, but decisions from unworthiness create poverty, stress, and so much more. So, you know, it's so interesting when you start to look at your decisions, because oftentimes, you know, we create things, we decide things in order to be worthy. So, you know, we try to please someone in order to be worthy. We let go of our boundaries to be worthy. We lower our prices to be worthy, right? There's all these decisions that we make because we want to be worthy instead of being worthy, knowing we're worthy without doing anything and making decisions from that place. Okay, so we've talked about some of the things that we can shift in, you know, in ourselves to really create more wealth. And so we've talked about, you know, the ability to really initiate wealth and desire, like connect it, to feel it in our body. We've talked about doing the worthy work. Well, after that, to create wealth, the next step is really focus. So it means focusing on one powerful path to wealth. Now, I know lots of people will disagree with me, and I've gotten in lots of heated debates about it, but you really have to focus. And, you know, I think that is this idea sometimes that we should be stretched everywhere. We should have multiple streams of income. I have seen it over and over again. The people who create money, you know, more quickly is the ones who have a focus. So, you know, that's something really to consider and think about. And again, you guys, I'm just kind of giving a brief intro, but we're going to kind of talk more deeply about these topics throughout the month. So the fourth thing, so, you know, we've talked about the other thing, focus. The fourth thing is really you need to get neutral with your numbers. So many women are afraid to look at their money, right? So, you know, when we look at money, we need to start to see it as data. It's just data. It's just giving us numbers and information so that we can make decisions from it. So, you know, you can kind of look at this in this term of like, if you had $10 in your bank versus $10,000 in your bank, what emotions come up for you, right? What is the meaning that you assign to only having $10 in your bank? And what's the meaning you assign to having $10,000 in your bank, right? So we have all these meanings that we assign to numbers. And that's why we're afraid to look at numbers. We don't want to, you know, see our failure. That's a meaning that we assign to the numbers, where none of that has to be true. We can just look at numbers. It's just a number. And then we can choose to make decisions to change that number. So, you know, sometimes I like to use this example. What if you had 10 toothpicks versus 10,000 toothpicks, right? Does that say something about your worth, failure, or success? Not really, right? We wouldn't really care. 10 toothpicks, 10,000 toothpicks, like it's just, it doesn't mean anything. But this is what we do with money, with our numbers and our bank account or how much money we're making or, you know, what we've created in our business or haven't created. We assign all this meaning. So we have to start looking at our money and start to see it as data in a more neutral way. Okay, so obviously we've talked about a lot in this solo episode. So I'm going to wrap up for today and we're going to go deeper in this topic over the month. I'm really excited because it's very important that we have these conversations around wealth. So I hope you've enjoyed today. I look forward to, you know, connecting with you the rest of the month and have a beautiful day. Thanks so much for listening to The Feminine Lens. If you're a woman in business and tired of trying to operate through the traditional patriarchal lens, check out my group program. you get the chance to apply these podcast topics to your life and business. You'll find coaching, support, and new perspectives on how to grow your business with more alignment and freedom. You'll be surrounded by amazing women and transform the way you feel about your value, your voice, and the gift you are bringing to the world. Just head over to SonjaStatman.com. All right, see you next week.